gather here hand in hand. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
And welcome, everyone. I would say good morning, but you know, we're podcasting. So you may be listening to this in the middle of the night or at night, but welcome to His Stories Podcast. And let's just start off by going to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for this time and this opportunity to once again make you famous by hearing how you work in the lives of people. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We ask that this broadcast would go out and it would touch hearts, it would touch lives, and it would have a multiplying effect on building up the faith of your people and even those who don't know you yet. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. How are you doing, Kevin?
I am good, Gil. How are you?
I am congested.
Oh, no.
I am congested. Okay. I feel like I want to complain, but I can't because I'm like all in here is congested tooth broke. You know, it's probably low on the complaint list. You know what I mean? Like there's people with much bigger fish to fry, but.
It's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. Yeah, yeah. But it's good. God has been good. Okay. It's just been a hard week of losing some people close to us.
Absolutely.
And things like that. But you know, through it all, God has been faithful. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So, in that, I won't complain.
Yeah, and the lives that you have been able to celebrate, that is is a hard thing. But at the same time, there's a celebration knowing that they're home with their father.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And how are you?
You know, my life is much simpler, I think, at this point. We just got into our house and
congratulations.
I was just trying to think in terms of where my life is, and I'm just happy I got a new shirt.
That's not flannel.
It's not flannel. It came from Menards, you know.
Okay, so
I'm starting to sport Menards clothing. We had no endorsement from Menards on that. But I'm just letting you know.
However,
I like the clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, good. Yeah. Congratulations on the new house. What, 9,000 square feet? What are we talking about?
Nothing like that.
No, okay. No.
Thank goodness. That would be hard to dust, right?
Yes, it would.
Yeah. So anyway. Well, as we like to say on the program, kind of enough about us.
Yeah.
We have a really I've been looking forward to having this guest. I had a chance to just hear just off the cuff a little bit that this gentleman, this young man, went around the world. And not only did he go around the world, but he went around the world in the name of Jesus Christ. And so when I heard that just stuck with me really quick. I'm like, I have to do this awkward thing and tap him on the shoulder, which he had never met me before. But I'm like, Jameson, I heard you went around the world. Why did you do that?
Right.
And when I heard that, and I began to unpack the story, as he was unpacking the story for me, I'm like, you know what? Jameson has to be on this program. Mm. So I'm so, so glad that Jameson was able to take some time to be able to be on His Stories podcast, broadcast. And So, Jameson, glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
Awesome. Good. Just real quickly, how can we hear your age? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm 23 years old.
23.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's good. So did you grow up in the Midwest? What would be called your home roots, so to speak?
Well, I mean, I was born in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
But, I mean, most of my life was... Yeah. Spent in Wakarusa, Indiana, with a couple memories from Goshen.
Nice.
But,
It's kind of the Bible Belt of
very much
Indiana.
So. Yeah.
it's a if anyone not anyone's familiar with Wakarusa, there's a lot of Amish folks. There's a lot of it's a sort of tradition Bible, it's celebrated there. So,
yeah.
So you grew up in Wakarusa territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was that? How did that affect your life? And can you just describe some of your childhood, I guess, and your growing up as a teenager? And I'll let you have the floor.
Sure. Yeah, you bet. I actually grew up. Well, not I didn't grow up, but some of my first memories of when my family was Mennonite my whole extended family on each side is Mennonite,
okay,
for the most part. And it's a very strict kind of lifestyle. But then when I was about 3 or 4, my parents chose to leave that into the life that we live now. And I am very grateful that they did that.
Yeah. Well, you don't look Mennonite.
I don't.
Yeah, you look like you could play Jesus.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
I'm just saying, you do.
No, yeah. Hey.
Like Kevin, you have very long, wavy hair. Yeah. Very Fabio-like.
Yeah, Fabio. If I wear a wig,
Hey, he's a good guy to look like.
Yeah. So you grew up in this Mennonite tradition. Oh, you got out of the Mennonite tradition. How did what was your faith like after that? Was it sort of non-denominational or?
It was non-denominational, but I mean, even from a young age, you know, I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. So, I just knew that my parents told me about Jesus and that I loved him, you know. And I remember when I was about 6 years old, I wasn't even in school yet, and I went to my mom and she was cleaning the bathroom. And I was like, "Mom, what's a Christian?" Mm-hmm. I kept hearing the word, and she told me. Mm-hmm. And I said, just to myself, I was like, oh, well, I'm already that. Like, I didn't know I had to say something to him about it. So I literally just went up to my bed, didn't tell anybody, and asked him in my heart. And then I, you know, started playing with my trucks and cars.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so you grew up in loving the Lord. You guys are going to church then?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Every, you know, Sunday, very, you know, firm foundation that my family was for me.
Okay.
And that was how it was. Like, I always had a bend in my spirit towards the Lord. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be the guy that brought friends every Wednesday night to church. And if I didn't have friends that night, they would be the subject of my prayers in the group.
Wow.
And, you know, I even remember once in third grade trying to hear from the Holy Spirit if he wanted me to go and talk to my friends out at recess. And I didn't hear anything, so I did it anyway.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want me to share at recess?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very nice. Yeah, it doesn't seem like God would be against that.
No.
Very good.
So growing up, you're passionate about God. You're passionate about praying for your friends. Then how did your growing up in your teenage years then, how was that? Because that's where people usually hit the wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Teenagers are kind of going through their own thing. They're going through their own feelings, emotions, body changes, attractions. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, you know what, later for the faith thing. How did that affect you in your teenage years?
Honestly, I think God just had an extra measure of grace on me because that was when I found myself being strengthened in his spirit.
Wow.
I think I always kind of knew that I took my faith more seriously than a lot of the kids at my school. Okay. None of my best friends, middle school and on, came from my school but from my church. And, you know, honestly, I just didn't fit the mold for, you know, really any time in my life. I could play sports, but I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't on the in crowd. And so, you know, it bothered me some, but, you know, in reality, I just didn't care a lot of the time. Peer pressure never affected me. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge blessing. And so, like, how I could evangelize to my peers was more or less always on my mind. Mm. And when I just kept finding myself and desiring to, I saw what I had and I always desired to keep growing in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of the flavor of my teenage years.
Gotcha.
So,
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you say that, what was the relationship with the Lord? Like you mentioned, sort of your relationship with your peers. How was that throughout that time? Because there is a relationship that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's, you know, because I'll be honest with my, you know, to those that are listening. When I was growing up, I think we have a lot of parallels between you and I. Great Christian family, love the Lord. We tend to be a little bit, there's a great experience with the Lord. Really, wonderful. So if my family members are listening, you know, they can definitely attest to this. But the one thing that I kind of found myself in is that at first I was a little more on the legalistic side of things.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is who I, you know, this is, I am because this, of I do certain things. But then as I continue to get older, I started understanding and experiencing God more and more. And that's just me, but how was it with you? Obviously now through your life of 23-year-old, you've experienced God in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
How was that when you were growing up?
Well, just because of my age, there was a lot I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think it was, now that looking back, it it did border somewhat on legalism. Uh-huh. However, I think my parents stepped out of our more conservative roles early enough in my life that I was, and I went to a solid church. The church that I was at sets really good foundations for me and what a healthy relationship with the Lord looks like.
Nice.
And so while I do think a lot of my value and just kind of where how my success was spiritually came from what my doing was like, I think that on to balance that out, like I did have a pretty healthy view of what it looks like to be connected to God and how it's not what you do, you know, and you know, that was just, it was somewhat, sometimes I could be, you know, I think I was somewhat in the belief that it was fueled by what I was doing. Cause you know, Christians don't do this, 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 and this.
Right.
But you know, it's just a moment by moment
thing. Those
are
safeguards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's wonderful. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem plugging a church, especially if they're good. Right. Can you say what?
Yeah. I want to. I've grown up since I was five at Napanee Missionary Church.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Great. I kind of thought that was the case, but okay.
Yeah.
We don't mind plugging a church, especially if it's good.
Yeah.
I like that. Nice. So, when did you first experience or have a drive or a desire to travel and do missions?
Oh, ever since I. Well, honestly, I think I've had one my whole life, but I didn't know it until I was in high school because, like, I remember when I would be in elementary school and we would go to the library and the teacher would say, okay, now we're going to draw passports and get ready, buckle your seatbelts because we're going on an adventure. And I would always feel cheated because I was like, we haven't left the library.
Right. Yeah.
And so, like, I always wanted that to be a thing, but I never identified in my head, oh, like, I want to travel. But, you know, whenever we traveled out of state to my grandparents' house, like, I loved it. I stayed up all night, drank Mountain Dews just so I could say I did it.
Right. And, nice.
But once I hit high school, that's when they start offering what my church calls impact trips to go overseas. It's the highest responsibility you can take in senior high in the youth group. And the first trip was to the Dominican Republic. And, you know, I flourished there. I went there and I started picking up the language. And,
really?
Yeah. Wow. And I wasn't, nothing really scared me. Like, everything juiced me. Like, I was going.
It doesn't hurt that the food is pretty much amazing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was amazing. So I came back from that and just realized how much bigger the world was than the cornfields of Indiana.
Yeah.
And the next year after that, I went to Honduras.
Wow.
And, you know, and then after that, if you... After that, it was kind of a thing of if you stop doing what you love for long enough, then you forget how much you love it. Mm-hmm. And so I started getting into the college game and doing all these things, and I kind of forgot about it. But it was actually as a senior in high school that I heard about a thing called the World Race. And at the time, I wasn't old enough to do the full trip, and it was very expensive. So I was like, well, maybe later. And then that came into play into my life a few years later. So
So now going back, what did you do when you were in Dominican Republic, in DR, in Honduras? Yeah. What exactly were you involved in?
Oh, many things. It's a dead sprint when you go on those short-term mission trips. We
That's good.
Yeah, we did lots of VBS. We would in the Dominican Republic, we would go like split up into groups and teams and go to like three different churches every day. And, you know, when we weren't there, we were sitting in session with the pastor, the guy that was leading our trip. And, you know, sometimes we would go and play sports with the kids, do arts and crafts with the kids. Sometimes we would get invited to festivals. I remember one time we had a really cool experience where God handpicked a handful of us to go and pray over a gentleman who was sick. And he did experience some healing.
Wow.
So,
that's great.
You know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And in Honduras, we went and worked with a boys' school. That trip wasn't quite as fun. The team chemistry wasn't as great, and we didn't leave in the Dominican. We were always going all around, but we were just kind of in the compound a lot.
Okay.
But nonetheless, it was a very powerful trip. Like,
In those early trips, what would you say was one of the biggest takeaways you learned, especially from seeing the church on that side of things?
Church on that side.
Kind of like, what was your perspective of the church? As opposed to here in the United States, like as an outsider coming in, what did you go say to yourself, you know, about how people do church outside of the United States?
I was just, it was really a breath of fresh air to break out of like the formula that a lot of churches seems to have, you know, they, you know, you'd get the, the kind of crazy guy, you know, walking up and down the aisle going, hallelujah.
And, you know, that doesn't happen in Epidemia.
That does not happen.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering.
You know, and they just kind of had a looser, kind of freer okay. spirit about, you know, how they do worship and how they do prayer. And it was just really emboldening to just see how another culture does things.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're here today with Mr. Schrock, the world race, world traveler, missionary. And this is Gil, and this is Kevin Michelin, and this is his story. We'll be right back, and we'll be picking up with his story right after this.
Well, hi, everybody. Normally, we would go into a commercial break right now, but Kevin and I would like to just share our hearts with you if we could.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm Gil Michelle.
I'm Kevin.
And we're just talking to you about the fact that we're looking to do a little bit of fundraising. We're looking to establish our own studio, a podcast studio, and we need the equipment to do that and take these testimonies and record them all across the country.
Absolutely.
So, Kevin, what are we trying to do?
Big goal. We're trying to raise $20,000
right.
by December 31st and of 2016. And so we would love to have you donate. It's a little bit of a faith step on our part, but mm-hmm. we'd love you to help out spread this ministry across the country.
That's right. So if you would, please go to HisStoriesPodcast.com and look for the donate link and see how you can give toward this goal. We don't Absolutely. Believe there's anything too hard for God, and we don't think you think that either.
Absolutely.
So please go to that website and give. We'd like to be able to set the studio up by the end of the year, and we'd love mm-hmm. for your help in doing so.
What was the broadcast again?
HisStoryPodcast.com.
Yeah.
All right. And we are back here with Jameson. We're here with His Stories, Gil Michelle, Kevin Michelin. And we've been joining in with Jameson's story about how he kind of started getting his feet wet, putting his toe in the water with missions. Jameson is 23 years old and has a breadth of experience in traveling and doing missions. So, Jameson, we kind of talked a little bit about your view of the church and how at Napanee they don't walk up, run up and down the aisle screaming, no, hallelujah!
No, they don't.
At least not yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. Right?
Yeah. So now what happened after that? You said you started kind of getting into the college game, and when you tend to not do something long enough, you tend to forget it.
Yeah.
How did your memory come back to you?
Ooh, good question. Well, after I graduated from high school, I entered a huge wilderness, a very big desert in my life. Indiana, or at least the Walker Easy kind of Bible Belt, as you said, yeah. is not a booming college town. And so I had I'm a very sociable guy, but I didn't have a ton of close friends. And so as soon as I graduated from high school, everybody scattered. You know, and I just felt like kind of I was left behind. And I didn't really know what I was doing. So my parents were like, well, just go to Ivy Tech in South Bend and do your gen eds. I had some scholarships and things like that. And so they said, get that out of the way, and then you can figure out what you want to do. You know, it'll be a big headache to have those required classes out of the way. So I said, okay, you know, let's do it. And I went and had absolutely no drive. Like, I wasn't I wasn't doing what I loved. There was zero – I'm a very sociable guy, and there was it's very ironic. There was zero community at the community college.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, community. And, you know, it was all like, you know, 30- and 40-year-old people that had already moved on with life. And, you know, there was just no atmosphere that cultivated very much inside of me. And so
and you even tried, right? You were in drama.
Yeah,
right?
I was in drama, and I did the drama program, and that was – one of the worst experiences of my life.
Okay.
I'm a performer, by the way. But and so that's why I went to South Bend, because they had an extracurricular program for that. But it was very hard. I was just, you know, working a job, and my grades were tanking, and my parents were like, hey, well, listen, just get your head, pull out, get your head on straight. You can figure out what you want to do, and then you can go back. Mm-hmm. Just work. And I was like, that sounds great, because now I don't have to at least simplify my life. Mm-hmm. And so I did that, you know. And there was you know, it was still really hard.
A desert.
It was still very much a desert.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, you didn't have that community at the community college, but did you have that? Was there a college age ministry or maybe at your church or other people? I know you said a lot of people scattered, but was there anyone pretty much around at all? I mean,
not really.
Not really. Okay.
I found, like, I would find a guy here and there, but nothing that really gave me that soul satisfying brotherhood connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went through losing a job, and then I actually heard about, a thing called Stranded with Caleb Bislow, who runs a ministry called Unusual Soldiers. And it's basically a boot camp, the first stage of his training because he's a missionary that goes to dark, dangerous, and despised places that other missionaries won't go.
Wow.
And so, and his ministry is training other people to do that as well. And Stranded is a 1 week long kind of survival slash missions training camp where he teaches you how to survive dangerous third world scenarios.
Wow.
And so I was like, that sounds great. I need some adventure and I also need some direction. And so I was like, well, let's do it, you know. So I went and I did it and, you know, got poisoned and had to.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was cool. Like eight of us ate.
That was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. I got poisoned. It was great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was a cool story because me and my eight of us all together, we had to get rushed to the ER. We had eaten poisonous hemlock. And, and you know, just touching it can give you rashes. We'd been making our beds with it. We had waterproofed our roofs that we had made with it. And nobody had a single thing wrong with them. It was really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, and you know, I can't say too much about it for fear of some new recruit getting wise to it. Some of his tactics we're not allowed to tell.
Okay.
But, you know, you have to deal with rebels and, you know, some kidnappings. And
okay.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
But yeah.
Very. It was a really cool trip, and you know, and I did get some direction. I left feeling empowered, and the great thing about these programs is that you gain amazing fellowship on them. But the bad thing about them is usually that fellowship comes from all over the country, so you go back to where you came from.
You're scattering,
and you're scattering again. So, I went and I got some. I got a factory job, and it was still really dark. Like, I just felt super alone, and I would just walk around my machine for, you know, 8 hours a day. It was a very simple job, and I found out later I may have ADHD, and I found out that my medication was also increasing that anxiety, and I couldn't get out of my head, and I had nothing but time each day, you know, to be inside my head. And so I would just, you know, hold my head because I couldn't turn my mind off, and I would just be going around in circles with no solution about, okay, what am I going to do with my life now? You know, I have nothing going for me. And finally, I got to a point where I did go to the Passion conferences in 2013 and 15. And in 2015, I heard a man named Ben Stewart, which, by the way, the Passion conferences were great because I was in community with people where I was at.
Yeah.
But Ben Stewart, he was the pastor at Texas A&M University.
Huh.
And he was great. And it was not just through him, but God used him a lot to confirm the message in my life that God does not waste his children's time. And, you know, that was a breath of fresh air to me. And so
That's a great message.
Mm-hmm.
That really is.
And so I would walk around my machine with listening to his podcast and also Chuck Swindoll, just something to speak truth into my life.
Right.
And I would walk around my machine with Ben talking into my ear and speaking truth to me. And that helped me a lot. But I was still in the desert. And so I would think, well, man, I'm a performer. I've got to take dance lessons to further myself. And then if I'm going to make the dream happen, I got to get a second job. And before I knew it, and then I started getting involved. I found a producer in Granger, and I started getting involved with extra work in movies and being a stagehand and things like that. And so before I knew it, I was working 6 and 7 hour days or 6 and 7 days a week. And I just wasn't spending time with anybody, which is very unusual for me. And I was wearing myself out. And finally, I just started having emotional breakdowns. And my mom came to me and she said, "Jameson, stop." She said, "You are going too fast to hear God." And she said, "Now what we're going to do is me, your dad, and your brothers, we're going to fast with you. And we're going to see what God has to say about this."
Wow.
That's great.
And I said,
"That's powerful."
I know. And she said, "Why don't you take a break from the dance lessons, take a break from the second job, and just get still." And I said, "That sounds good." I said, "That sounds really good. I could use a word from the Lord." And so I did. I pulled out of my dance lessons for a time. I pulled out of my second job and ended up not going back. And, you know, and I got still. And for one meal each week, we would fast. And so, and it was right about this time that I was thinking of the world race again. And I began thinking, well, man, I have no debt at all. Like, my car was paid off. I had no school loans. I have no relationship to take care of, no career to take care of. When will I be this free again in my life? And I know I would love it. And I know that it would change my life. And it was kind of like a why not. And all of a sudden, it sounded like my thoughts, but all of a sudden I was like, I think that's the Holy Spirit, you know?
Right.
And, you know, and during this time, you know, I would be like really longing, because every day was the exact same as the last, and I was longing for an adventure to live again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would literally have, like, clips of Indiana Jones dodging stuff. You know,
as I was going past my machine. And, the big rock.
Yeah.
The big rock rolling down. Yeah.
And so, you know, and I thought about the race, and I was like, this sounds like the closest reality this that we have to that. And so, but I went on to, I went home, and just 2 weeks into it, I asked Mom, I was like, did you hear anything today? And she said, I felt like God said go. Mm. And I said, yes.
And that's a lot for a mom to say that.
It is. And
to,
it was.
To let your kid go.
Not just, I mean, let's back up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
How many moms would be like, hey,
yeah,
stop.
Right.
Let's all fast.
Yeah.
So that you can hear from God.
Yeah.
Most moms are like, you are going to get a job. You're going to get a third job.
Yeah.
And you're going to,
yeah,
you know, it's like, make something of your life. And
yeah.
But man, that is the power of really Holy Spirit-led parenting.
Yeah.
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 When you see, like, your son is in this place where he's trying to, your son or your daughter is in this place where they're trying to make sense and make the most of their life.
Yeah.
And instead of nag or berate them,
Yeah.
I'm going to join with you.
Yeah.
And let's all hear what God is saying for you.
Mm. Yeah.
That's powerful to me. I'm sitting here in amazement because there are not a lot of parents, even Christian parents, who take on that posture when it comes to their kids.
And what I just heard there, I'm a parent, and what I just heard there gives me valuable now a tool.
Yes.
For my two teenagers as well. So I'm so glad that your mom chose to say, you know what, I'm gonna you know, take that time for my son. So
Well, guess what, Kevin? We're out of time.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
So obviously we have to hear part two of your story.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to be on for another podcast.
Gotta come back.
You gotta come
back. I'll be
back. Yeah, in 10 minutes. You gotta come back. And we are gonna come back with the rest of the story. And if I can encourage you, if you are out there and you have a testimony as well, if you want to share that with us, hit us up on our Facebook page or our website, historiespodcast.com, or go to His Stories Broadcast on Facebook and share your story with us. Stories, powerful stories like Jameson and the ones you've been hearing in the past several weeks, months, past year. We'd love to hear your story as well. And as we get ready to sort of close out today, I really feel like led to pray in this way as we close this broadcast, Kevin. The parents that are out there who are going, I don't know what my son is doing, and he can't make – I think that's a good place. It's a good spot where we sort of pause here to pick up the story for the next podcast because we're going to hear the rest of Jameson's story.
Right.
But I honestly don't believe that could have happened until that pause happened.
Yeah.
And sometimes –
I agree.
Like there would be no Moses – freeing the children of Israel until he turned aside to see the burning bush, to pause your life enough so that God can speak to you.
Yeah.
And so if you don't mind, I'd really like to close out the broadcast today in that vein.
Absolutely.
So Father, we thank you. Thank you that you're touching lives, not just through the power of Jameson's story, but also in what his parents, his brothers did in pausing to stop, to fast and pray about what God is saying about his life.
Yeah.
What would it look like if as a church, we would stop and do that for our brothers and not just hear what God has to say for us, to me, but what are he saying to you, to us, as a community, as a people? And so, Father, I thank you that you're raising up parents that will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, Lord, to see what's going on in the life of the children. And so we thank you until we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at historiesbroadcast.com. That's historiesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.